الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس وما يعقلها إلا العالمون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين. Honorable Ulama, respected friends, brothers, children in Islam, part of our belief and our aqidah and the aqidah of every mu'min is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Hakim. Hakim is one of the 99 attributes, the names of Allah. So many times in the Quran, Allah uses this word. Hakim means one who has absolute wisdom. Allah is the most wise. Then we take this aqidah further. In fact, it is written in the books of aqaid, our books of aqidah, our beliefs, that Allahu Hakimun wa fi'lul hakim la yakhlu an hikmatin. That Allah is wise, most wise, and the actions of a wise person is never free from wisdom. The actions of a person who's got wisdom, it is never devoid of wisdom and hikmat. This is an aqidah. And inshallah today I will explain how this aqidah can help our akhlaq. It can help our spiritual lives. And that is so important. Many of the aqaid of Islam, they are linked to our spiritual lives, to our akhlaq. Like if you believe that Allah is Razzaq, He's the only one that gives rizq, then spiritually you will be able to live a life in this dunya with this aqidah and with this contentment in the dunya, that Allah is the provider, so I don't need to worry, and it will save me from doing a lot of things in this dunya that will harm my iman, harm my akhlaq, my spiritual life. A person believes in the qudrat of Allah. That is one of the primary sifat of Allah, qualities of Allah, the qudrat, the power of Allah. So once you believe in Allah's power, it becomes easy to make tawakkul, to put your trust in Allah. Therefore, you find the mashayikh, they teach you that to obtain, to gain this quality of tawakkul, you must contemplate a lot on the qudrat and the supreme power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So likewise, when we believe in the supreme and the absolute hikmat of Allah, hikmat means wisdom, is going to help us in improving our akhlaq. Because we said that Allah is Hakim, whatever Allah does, it is filled with hikmat. It's impossible for Allah to do something without wisdom. Maybe in this dunya, the human being, you find, mashallah, there are lots of our akabir, our ulama, that have got lots of wisdom, and you find that they always do things with prudence, with wisdom, in a wise way. But there are times when they can err, they can make a mistake, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never errs. Allah will not do, nothing can happen without wisdom if it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one incident in this regard. We are speaking now of the wisdom of Allah and then trying to understand that wisdom. How is going to help us with our aqidah, with our akhlaq in our worldly, our daily lives? It is to be able to understand that there is wisdom in whatever Allah does. Now that is difficult, but it's possible. Either a person, Allah blesses a person, and Allah puts into his mind some type of ma'rifat, some recognition, then that person will understand everything that Allah does. If understand it perfectly, that there is wisdom, and that person will resign himself to that action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes people are not blessed. This is not the general case. It doesn't happen with all, with everyone. Then you need to do certain things which I'll explain inshallah. And that will enable you to understand to a certain degree the things that happen in life. And you will appreciate that this is some wisdom. There is some wisdom in this that happens. There is some benefit. There is some greater purpose why Allah brought about a certain event in this dunya. Now remember why I'm mentioning this. It's very important because most cases when we don't understand or believe in this wisdom of Allah, then we lose sabr. Especially when calamities befall us, when something happens that causes us hurt, or when a disaster befalls us, whether it is personal, whether it is in family, whether it is communal, then we start thinking and we start asking questions that why did Allah make this happen? Why did Allah allow this? And I've heard some people make some real serious statements, Allah save us, Allah protect us, where they actually, like when, for instance, if a person loses a child, then the person actually says that, Ya Allah, why did you take this innocent child away? Ya Allah, why my child? Look at the other children, so healthy, so beautiful. Why did you take my child away? Now, from one angle, you can't blame that person for speaking like that because what has happened is the natural human tendency has overtaken your mind. So now you can't stop to think that this is the wisdom of Allah. There is some hikmah, there is some reason why Allah made it, why Allah allowed it. We don't say it's justifiable. We don't say it's right what they are doing. Islam teaches us that we need to make sabr and this is part of sabr. But inshallah, in the few minutes we have, if you just listen carefully and put a few of these suggestions into practice, you will find you will be able to cope with anything that happens in your life. But there's a nice incident which I heard from our Hazrat Rahmatullah alayhi regarding Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Some of you may have heard it. Whenever our Sheikh used to mention a story, then he says that those who heard it, it will refresh your memories. And those who never heard it, it's something new. So Nabi Musa alayhi salam, one day he spoke to Allah, he says, Ya Allah, I would like to see some of your mysteries. You have wonderful mysteries, Ya Allah. So I would like to see, like the Quran Kareem says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. The keys of the unseen lies solely in the possession of Allah. No one knows it but Allah. So these are the mysteries. So Musa alayhi salam says, Ya Allah, I want to see these mysteries. So Allah said, Oh Musa, you'll never understand these things. Don't even ask the question. Musa alayhi salam was Kalimullah, he could speak to Allah. So he insisted that, Ya Allah, I would like to see some of your mysterious workings in this dunya. So Allah says, very well, you go to a certain river, and on the banks of that river, at a certain section, you must sit in such a place, you must hide away, but you must be able to see what's happening on the bank of that river. No one must be able to see you. You must be able to see whoever comes and goes. So Musa alayhi salam went and he sat in some bushes. He hid himself away and he started watching now. He sat for a few hours. Nothing happened. And then after a while, a traveler came along and stopped at that place. Stopped to refresh, to rest. So after half an hour or so, when he was ready, when he was refreshed, and ready to resume his journey, he got onto his horse. As he got on, a small purse fell out of his luggage from the saddle. He didn't notice this. He never noticed his purse that fell and he continued his journey. So the purse lay on the ground. A little while later, another traveler came. He came. He didn't stop there, but as he was passing that area, he saw the purse. So he stopped, picked up the purse, he opened it, he noticed there's lots of money in that purse. He looked around, there was no one watching. He took that money, put it in his pocket, and he proceeded on his journey. So he stole the next man's money. Musa alayhi salam was watching this whole scene. A little while later, a third traveler arrived. He decided to stop, refresh, lay down. While he was there, the first traveler came back to look for his money. Obviously, along the route, he discovered that my money fell somewhere. After thinking carefully, he realized that it must be the only place where he stopped was at this area. So he came back to that area to look for his money. When he arrived, he saw this other traveler here. He looked around first. He never saw the purse. So he asked this man that, do you perhaps see a purse lying around? The man was sincere, innocent. He says, yes, I never saw any purse. I am here for the last 10, 15 minutes. I saw nothing here. This first traveler felt suspicion came to his mind and he thought this man is lying. There was no one that passed by here, to my knowledge. This is the only man here. This is where the purse dropped. He must have taken my purse. So he started accusing him. He accused him. He says, no, you got my purse. I want to search you. That man, obviously, when a person is innocent, and especially you got a little bit of pride, you don't take kindly to a man accusing you. So he rejected this. He says, no, why must I be searched? You must accept my word. I will not lie. So this ensued. It developed into an argument. The argument became bad. They drew their swords. In those days, they should travel with their weapons. Drew their swords. A sword fight ensued. The first traveler killed the third traveler. He killed him. He slayed him. And he continued his journey. He was happy now that I got my revenge. This man took my money. What he did with it, I don't know. But at least I got revenge. And he proceeded on his journey. Now everything was finished. Nabi Musa alayhi salam realized that this is now something totally amazing. He says, Ya Allah, what is this? An innocent man got killed. And the man who stole the purse has got scot-free. He's gone. Ya Allah, explain me. So Allah says, Nabi Musa, oh Musa, in the first place I told you, you won't understand my mysteries and my hikmat. But anyhow, let me explain you. This is how the mysteries of Allah work. Allah says that the second traveler that came and picked up that purse and he took it, you thought that he committed an act of theft. He stole something. But you don't realize that the first traveler, many, many years ago, the first traveler owed that person a sum of money. He owed him some money and he was not paying. He was by the means, he had the money, but he refused to pay. When this person found this money, all he did was to take his haq. He got his haq back, and that is without him realizing it. Because you must remember, sometimes, you know, when this incident was mentioned, then also the thought came to our mind. But then afterwards, alhamdulillah, we read in the kitabs that if someone owes you money, or if you owe a person money, and you give that person that money, even if that person doesn't know where the money came from, you have fulfilled your haq. A lot of people ask that I stole money. Alhamdulillah, some people, they make tawbah, they repent. Now they come to me, they say, you know, I work for a certain businessman, and for that duration, I stole so much money, I can estimate maybe so much. But I'm shy, I'm frightened to pay him back. To admit, I'm prepared to pay, but to admit that I stole, it will be an embarrassment for me. So how do I pay him back? So I says, all you do is get his account details and deposit the money anonymously. He will see the money come into his account, whether he knows where it came from or not. You don't need to tell him. The main thing is this, that you delivered the haq to the rightful owner, to the person unto whom that haq was due. So Allah, the Sharia made it so easy, there's no reason for anyone to withhold the haq of another person. So Musa, Allah told Musa that this man owed the second traveler this money. And because he owed him the money, he was not paying, I made this arrangement for him to get his haq back. So that was one mystery solved. Now the second one, this is even worse. An innocent life was taken. So Allah Ta'ala says, oh Musa, that third traveler, again, going back many years, he killed the father of the first traveler. And he was not found guilty of that murder. He escaped. He was not punished for that murder. And according to Islam, throughout the centuries of history, this was the standard rule in all the sharias before, that an eye for an eye. وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ. You commit murder and you are guilty, your life must be taken in retribution. So that person was not punished. All he did was, when he slayed that man, he took revenge on behalf of his father who was murdered by the same person. So Allah Ta'ala says, oh Musa, now you have seen, you just seen maybe the tip of the ocean. One or two incidents. There are so many incidents in this world that happen. People don't realize it, but they all object to my actions. They all argue against me, they oppose me, they're always complaining. If only they could see and understand these mysteries, they will believe that, Ya Allah, every act that you execute in this world, every action that you do, it is filled with wisdom, and it is fully and totally in compliance with our benefit and with the good of, with the interest and the good of a human being. So Allah's hikmats are so vast. As I said earlier, it's impossible for us to really understand and grasp the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one thing we do is, when a person, now these are some suggestions, in order for one to cope with the things that happen in life, because what I'm saying is that if things happen to you, if you don't understand why it happened, it becomes difficult for you to resign yourself to that particular incident. It becomes difficult to accept it. But if you do two things, let's just take two things, and our time is limited and we don't want to load you with a lot of things. I want you to remember this when you leave from here, so inshallah you can share this with our sisters. The one is, you notice a person who engages a lot in the zikr of Allah. A lot of zikr of Allah. Allah gives that person the understanding. Allah opens the mind up to that person. Even without knowledge, one is the knowledge that you gain formally by studying under an alim or studying in a madrasa or studying books of Islam. We're just speaking of understanding things. Wisdom. A person who makes a lot of dhikr of Allah. A person who has a lot of taqwa for Allah Azza wa Jal. You notice that person will be gifted by Allah, will be blessed by Allah with a good understanding. So when things happen in this world, anything that happens, whether it happens to himself or to others, that person is able to understand the workings behind it, the machinations that went into bringing that particular event into existence, the workings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not all, but to a fair extent, it will enable people to make sabr. So this is one thing we must always remember, lots of dhikr of Allah and taqwa. Taqwa basically means that I must abstain from that which Allah has prohibited and do that which Allah has commanded. That is, in a nutshell, the basic taqwa that you and I have to develop, that we need to inculcate. The other thing is to look in your surroundings, the happenings of the dunya. Take ibrat and take a lesson from the things that happen in this world. Now, we don't do this. What we do is, if something happens to another Muslim or another person, instead of taking an ibrat, ibrat means a moral, a lesson, we look at that with a critical eye. Or we might be looking at that with an eye of gloating. We are happy that it happened to that person. Now Allah showed that person a lesson. That person has been taught a lesson now. It's good it happened to him. That is not the behavior and the attitude of a mu'min. Because if it's a Muslim that you are looking at, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us, he says, لَا تُظْهِرِ الشَّمَاتَةَ لِأَخِيكَ فَيَرْحَمُهُ اللَّهُ وَيَبْتَلِيكَ. Never express your glee. Don't gloat over the hardship and the difficulty of another Muslim, your Muslim brother. Because the time will come when Allah Ta'ala will have mercy upon him and Allah will put you to test. The same thing that happened to him will happen to you. So don't ever do this. Don't laugh. Don't rejoice. Don't gloat at the difficulty of another Muslim. That's the worst, it's the most despicable thing that a Muslim can do to his fellow Muslim. If something happens to another Muslim, there's two things you must do. One is you make dua. We are sitting here in South Africa, relatively, Allah has given us so much aman, aman and peace and comfort. And you look beyond our borders, in Africa, in the Middle East, all these countries where there is so much hardship being inflicted upon the Muslims. When we look at that, what we first do is, Ya Allah, we make dua for them. Where possible, alhamdulillah, we have so many people, organizations working to bring aid to those people, then you join this and you contribute. And then the other thing you do is, Ya Allah, we take an ibrat, we take a lesson from that. That what did they do wrong that caused them to be in this dilemma and in this difficulty? We must avoid that wrong and that error, avoid making the same mistake so we don't become the victims of the same hardship. That is what I mean by taking an ibrat and a lesson. A simple example is when, now what I'm saying is to understand the wisdom of Allah and to make your hardship easier. Let's say a person is traveling, you're driving a car, you exceeded the speed limit. So you got caught by the traffic cop, you got a traffic speeding fine. Now you got a fine, maybe it's 500 rand or 1000 rand. You're very sad. You're very depressed now because firstly you got caught, people don't like to get caught. Secondly, you got a lot of money to pay. So your whole day is spoiled. Right? But let's say a few hours later, on the same road that you traveled, you suddenly hear that a man was traveling, also exceeded the speed limit, and he met in an accident because of his speed. What they say, speed kills. Actually, Allah kills, but speed is just a means. So now, ask yourself, how will you feel? You say, Ya Allah, you saved me. On the same road, I was traveling so fast. Here this man got killed. I didn't get killed. At least I got off with a traffic fine. You will tell yourself that, Ya Allah, I'd rather pay 10,000 rand. But you saved me from the calamity. You saved my little children, my wife, my little kids that were with me in the car. So if we take lessons like this from the things that happen around us, you will find that it becomes easy to cope with the difficulties that Allah inflict upon us. And remember, La yukallifu Allah nafsan illa wus'aha. Now this is the third point I want to make. Always contemplate on this ayat. Allah will not put a burden on you that you cannot bear. If Allah sent a calamity upon you or your family, don't think that it is the end of the world. Just contemplate this ayat that Allah put this burden upon me because Allah knew I can bear this burden and I'm going to bear it. I need to be positive. Then, inshallah, you will develop that sabr. But remember, dear brothers, it is very important for us to try and read our surroundings, our circumstances, take lessons from what happens around us so that we, one day, when Allah, we make dua, Allah save us. We need to make dua also. Dua is part of taqdeer. One sahabi was going somewhere. I think it was Hazrat Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu. This was somewhere in Syria. So he met another sahabi. So the sahabi asked him, where are you going? He says, no, I'm leaving this particular town because there is a plague. There's a plague there. So I'm leaving it. So the sahabi says that you're running away from the taqdeer of Allah. You're running away from the taqdeer of Allah. If you must get sick in that plague, it's the taqdeer of Allah. So Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah replied, radiallahu anhu, that I'm running away from one taqdeer to another taqdeer. If I am saved, that's also the taqdeer of Allah. So we make this dua that Allah save us. A person asked Haji Imdadullah rahimahullah that Hazrat, when we get sick, then we make dua, oh Allah, give us shifa. That is the first thing that comes to mind. If someone is sick, you ask people, so and so is sick, make dua for shifa. But we learn from the hadith that sickness is also a ni'mat of Allah. It's also a ni'mat of Allah. So it means that we don't want this ni'mat. That is not right. A Muslim should love whatever Allah gives him. So this is a very difficult question in reality to answer. But these awliya Allah, Allah, as I said, that with the dhikr that they make and the taqwa, Allah open up all these avenues and these windows to understand the happenings of Allah and the mysteries of Allah. So Haji Imdadullah replied, he says, no, what you are doing is, you are asking Allah that, oh Allah, sickness is a ni'mat. And so is shifa. Replace the one ni'mat with another. There's nothing wrong in doing that. Ya Allah, replace the illness with shifa. So what I'm saying is that when these calamities befall us, firstly understand that Allah will not give you a calamity or a hardship that is beyond your capability, that you can't bear. The Quran Kareem says this, and this ayat is not wrong. This ayat can never be wrong. La yukallifullahu nafsan. So how do we approach it? Always remind yourself that I'm in difficulty, but I can bear this difficulty. This is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a test from Allah azza wa jal, and I need to make sabr. And as I said, that before the calamity comes, always try and take lessons from your surroundings. One final thing I want to mention here. People always ask this question, how do you know that if I'm suffering some difficulty, some hardship, is it a test from Allah or an azab? It's possible. وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُم مِّنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ Allah says in the Quran that we will inflict upon people a lesser azab before the major azab. That is before Qiyamah, before the Akhirat. The lesser azab is difficulties in this world. So, is that an azab or is it a test from Allah? So our Shaykh rahimahullah gave us a nice criteria. What you do is, ask yourself, look at your condition, I'm going through this difficulty. If the difficulty is such that when it occurred, when the hardship fell upon you, when the difficulty or the calamity occurred, then suddenly you found that you've got people around you to support you. You've got moral support, you've got physical support, you've got financial support, you've got spiritual support. There are people that are with you, giving you support, giving you encouragement. Then you must realize that that is a test from Allah. It's not an azab. Allah is going to make you closer to Him. He will elevate your status. And if the calamity befalls you and you are totally abandoned, no one is there to help you, you are sick, you got no money for medication, for hospital fees, and you are struggling, and you can't even go into the hospital because you got no money, then remember, now that you are in this difficulty, and you've got no support, it is an azab and a punishment from Allah. But wallah, brothers, even that too is a rahmat and a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. I make dua to Allah, that Allah gives us all the ability to make sabr when the calamity befalls us. Yes, the first dua should be, Allah save us from calamities and hardships. But sometimes when the calamity comes, I said now it is a rahmat. So ya Allah, when we do suffer some difficulty in life, no matter how big or small it might be, ya Allah, grant us the sabr, grant us the reward of those calamities, ya Allah. And ya Allah, let us open our minds to understand how you work and understand your hikmat and your wisdom in all your actions in this dunya, ya Allah. Ameen, thumma ameen, wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah.